Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the swine flu vaccine when we come back. You know, back in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth, but today it's down to less than 38 days. 38 days. Now, these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so says the Club of Rome. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing using some different words. He called it false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Now, back in 1920, nearly 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers, producing their own food and then food for the rest of the world and for you and me. But today, we Americans have chosen to live in our cities, and now only 3% of us live on the land. 97% of us, then, are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, all right. And then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, berries from Guatemala, and we've put our food supply into the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. And these globalists, with their genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for. And I say let them die for their cause, and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and download that free general law CD package. Either stream it or download it onto a CD. And then you can do that by simply going to georgegordon.org, clicking onto the appropriate page. I think it's on our archives. Go to our archives. And if you can't find it on georgegordon.org, go to georgegordon.com, georgegordon.com. Somebody told me that the other day. All right, we've been talking about this thing called swine flu vaccine. And the other day I was listening to the Lair News Hour on PBS, and Judy Gerberding was on. Have you ever heard that name, Judy Gerberding? She's the head of the CDC. Now, the CDC is called the Center for Disease Control, a governmental institution. You want to know where your tax dollars are going, there's where they're going, the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia. Wonderful outfit down there, and they're just working their hearts out trying to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, Judy said that the number of people who die every year from the flu is 36,000 people. 36,000 people a year just die from the everyday, ordinary, garden variety flu. And so that was pretty significant, I thought, 36,000 people die every year. Now, to give you a little perspective here, here in the United States, we have a population of about 300 million people, and approximately 2.5 million of those die every year. So if you want to know how many people are dying in this country, 2.5 million are dying. Now, 36,000 people, that's quite a bunch of people. I'm from a little town on the north coast of California called Eureka, California. And at one time, the population in Eureka reached 30,000. 30,000 people. And if what Judy Gerberding is telling us, then a city like Eureka, California, just disappears from America every year from the flu alone. Just not swine flu, not Hong Kong flu, not some terrible pestilence kind of flu, just everyday garden variety ordinary flu. I thought, well, you know, that's pretty significant. 30,000 people a year, 36 according to their numbers. So they put out a press release here. I thought I'd read you this press release. This comes from the CDC press release. This is the official government story. Now, before I give you the official government story, let me tell you where we're going with this. I don't think 36,000 people a year are dying from the flu. I think that's a lie. Now, I don't have any reason to believe that the CDC is lying to us. In fact, when I read something in the paper, like, you know, just say USA Today, and I read a story in there, and they're doing a story on the CDC, and they say 36,000 people a year die from the flu, I don't have any reason to doubt that. Do you? I believe everything my government tells me. That's what Will Rogers said. He said, all I know is what I read in the papers. That's all I know. So all I know is what I read in the papers, or I watch on the Lair News Hour, I watch NBC Evening News, or I'm maybe watching PBS, or I'm watching Now, you know, with David Brancaccio or Bill Moyer's Journal or something like that, and I listen, you know, intently. I listen to all these programs every week, you know, trying to find out what's going on around me so that I can be a well-informed citizen, so that I can vote intelligently. All right, now, with that said, listen to this. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, called the CDC, today released data indicating that the estimated number of people who die from influenza and respiratory cyclical virus, it's called RSV, per year in the United States, is substantially higher than previous estimates. The data are published in the January 8th issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, also known as JAMA, J-A-M-A, the Journal of the American Medical Association. Using new and improved statistical models, the CDC scientists estimate that an average of 36,000 people, now that's up from 20,000 in previous estimates, die from influenza-related complications each year in the United States. 36,000 people, that's up from, now this is called a statistical model. Now I was kind of surprised when I saw that, because I had probably read 100 of these kinds of reports over the years. It never entered my mind that they were using a statistical model. I thought that when somebody died, that some doctor someplace would make out a death certificate, kind of like your birth certificate, only you get a death certificate, and they put on the death certificate, you know, you died of natural causes. That's what happened to my great-great-granddaddy. My great-grandfather, old Abe Snyder, one great back. He died of natural causes. Everybody else in my family dies from heart disease, cancer, or some, you know, traffic accident, you know, say he was killed in a car wreck or something, or he died of pneumonia or something. They put a cause on there. You know, what did this guy die of? And the CDC, I thought, was taking those death certificates and tabulating those, and then every year they come up with 36,000 that died from flu. You know, the doctor said, oh, the guy had the flu and he died. Now, if you've been watching the news lately, you'll notice that several people have died here in the United States from the swine flu, and they put down there confirmed swine flu death. Okay. So we know that people die from this flu because there's a death certificate there, I guess. I've never seen one of these death certificates, but I'm presuming that they exist because I saw it on the television, and oh my God, if you can't believe your government, who can you believe? Well, going on, it says, in addition, about 11,000 people die every year from respiratory syncytial virus. It's called RSV, S-Y-N-C-Y-T-I-A-L. I guess that's syncytial virus. A virus that causes upper and lower respiratory tract infections, primarily in young children and older adults. The study demonstrates that most deaths caused by RSV occur in the elderly. All right, so if you're old like I am, you know, you get to be 65, they call you elderly. At 55, you can join the AARP, they call you a senior citizen, and you get to be 65, and you become elderly. So when you get to be 75, 80, 90, I guess you just stay elderly. So I'm now elderly, and they tell me that most deaths occur among the elderly. Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense, seeing how we're all going to die. Nobody gets off this planet alive. Not even God himself got out of here alive. Think about that one. Now, we've known for some time that influenza and RSV have a profound impact on public health, said CDC Director Dr. Julie Gerberding. However, these data indicate that the magnitude of the problem is larger than we once thought. CDC researchers believe that the increase can be explained in part by the aging of the U.S. population. Over the past several decades, the number of persons aged 85 or older has doubled, and also the most virulent of the influenza viruses in recent years, called influenza A, H3N2, has been the most common strain circulating during the last decade. Vaccinating individuals who are at greatest risk of serious complications from influenza will continue to be the primary strategy for preventing influenza-associated deaths. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the DHHS, recently announced a new policy that allows nursing homes, hospitals, and home health agencies that serve Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries to remind patients when it's time for an annual vaccination and ask if they want to receive a shot. I want to point something out here, something I think is very important here. Did you notice that you have to have this flu shot every year? It isn't something that you get vaccinated for and it's good for life. No, sirree, Bob. And in fact, the other day I heard that in the swine flu outbreak, you're going to get your regular shot. That's for any other kind of flu. And then you got to get two shots. Now, that's going to be three shots this year as I speak, three for the flu. Now, I mentioned this to you the other day, so as old as I am, I've never had a flu shot, not one. And I've never had the flu either. How do you like that? So I've lived all my life without flu shots, and I haven't had the flu. And one of the reasons that I'm real concerned about this is that if you get five shots in five consecutive years, it raises your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease by 10 times. Now, that should be statistically significant. I noticed that none of these paid professionals ever bring this to anybody's attention, but excuse me. Alzheimer's disease now affects about 3.5 million Americans. It's about 1% of us, a little over 1%. One person out of 100 has Alzheimer's. If you want to increase your chances so that you can get the best statistical shot at coming down with Alzheimer's disease in your lifetime, you need five flu shots. It'll increase your chances by 10 times. Would you like to get Alzheimer's disease? So far as we know, the best way to increase your chances of success in getting Alzheimer's disease is to get 5 consecutive flu shots. So why don't you jot that down on your calendar? You can get 3 of them in 1 year. Just in the year 2009 alone, you can get 3. Now, whether that'll give you a jump on the process, I don't know. And then in 2010, 11, 12, and 13, you want to make sure that you get your shots. If you do that, get your 3 shots this year, get a shot in 2010, 11, 12, and 13, you can increase your chances of Alzheimer's disease by 10 times. Now, why don't you jot that down, make sure you get after it. They go on to say here that more high-risk people than ever before are getting their flu shots, and that is certainly good news, Dr. Gerberding said. However, it's crucial that we continue to get the message out regarding the importance of high-risk people getting their flu shots each and every year. Okay, so jot that down. You have this great need. You should get after it. Make sure that somebody reminds you to get your flu shot. Now, influenza season usually peaks in the United States between December and March, and so far this year, only a few states have reported widespread activity. It's still quite early in our influenza season, and we expect activity to pick up in the coming weeks. Or so said the CDC epidemiologist, Dr. T.G. Fukuda, F-U-K-U-D-A. That's a real Irish name if I ever saw one. Dr. T.G. Fukuda. It is definitely not too late to get your flu shot if you have not yet received one. So if you haven't, hey, if you haven't got your flu shot yet, it's not too late. Get down there and get in line up. Now, the CDC recommends influenza vaccination for those at high risk for complications from the flu, including individuals age 65 and older, that includes me, and others with chronic medical conditions such as heart and lung disease and diabetes, as well as healthcare workers, all of you nurses and doctors and dentists and ambulance drivers, get down there and get your shot. All other groups, including household members of high-risk persons, healthy people ages 50 to 64, and others who wish to decrease their risk of getting the flu, should begin receiving vaccinations, plural, 3, in November. CDC also encourages children aged 6 months to 23 months to receive influenza vaccinations. Obviously, little babies 6 to 23 months are not getting enough vaccine. They need 3 more. Get them lined up here, mothers. Last paragraph. Let me turn the page here, if I can get to that page. Here we go. If you'd like more information on influenza, please go to www.cdc.gov/flu. See how easy that is? Just get on your computer and just go www.cdc.gov/flu and you got it. CDC protects people's health and safety by preventing and controlling diseases and injuries, enhances health decisions by providing credible information on critical health issues, and promotes healthy living through strong partnerships with local, national, and international organizations. And some of these local, national, and international organizations are drug and pharmaceutical institutions like, you know, GlaxoSmithKline, Merck, Pfizer. These are the people that turn out these miracle vaccines. God love them. Now, that's the official CDC propaganda. That's what they put out. Sounds good. I don't have any reason to disbelieve it until I picked up a couple of articles off of the internet. Because I'm not a statistical freak. I don't go out and check up on all these statistical numbers and stuff, you know, like shadowstats.com. I mean, there's people, you know, that just love to sit around playing with numbers and putting graphs together and one thing and another, and I don't do that. I like to go out and shoot bottles and cans and possums and coons and milk macaws and Bill Bants. I mean, I got 1,000 things out here I'd rather be doing than sitting down here and trying to work out these numbers. But once in a while, a report comes across my desk, like this one here, that says flu, size of problem grossly exaggerated. Now, I just read to you the size of the flu problem. It's 36,000 deaths a year. Now, the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, says every year in the United States, on average, 36,000 people die from the flu. Below are the actual number of flu-associated deaths from 1999 to 2002 from the CDC National Vital Statistic Reports. Huh? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you could go to the CDC website and you could get the 1999 to 2002 National Vital Statistic Reports? Well, the guy did. Here's what it is. 753 deaths in 2002, that's on page 16 of the report. 257 deaths in 2001, page 16 of the report. 1,765 deaths in 2000. And 1,665 deaths in 1999. Now, how does the CDC get from 753 flu deaths to its statement that 36,000 flu deaths occur annually? That's the question. Now, I have reported here from time to time that the numbers coming out of the government concerning such things as the economy are skewered numbers, like the number of people that are unemployed, the number of people being laid off, and the size and scope of the deficit, and the toxic waste from the banks, and the bailout money for the 19 big institutions that are too big to fail, and so on. I mean, some of this has been declared national security. You loan Bank of America $45 billion, and then you ask them, how are you spending the money? And they say, oh my God, that's a national security issue. We can't do it. I'm not making this up. I'm just reporting. That's right. So there are no numbers that are being reported on how the $765 billion in in bailout money has been spent. Nobody's telling. And then when you get out there and you start asking, they say, well, that's a national security secret. I mean, that's like trying to tell the Taliban, you know, how many soldiers you got out in the field. We ain't telling them that. So now we got the CDC in on this. Not economically, I mean, just the CDC skewering their numbers and lying to you. But now the question arises, well, why would they do that? Say, I'm just like you. I'm saying, well, what in the hell's the point? Is it 36,000 people dying every year, or is it 1,753 or 1,765? I don't know. I'm not out trying to tally all the death certificates in the United States to find out how many people died from the flu and how many people died from diabetes and how many people died from heart attack. And how many. I presume that our tax dollars at work and that organizations like the American Medical Association, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Center for Disease Control and National Health Institute, I assume that these people being funded by our tax dollars are the kind of people that are honest and filled with integrity and they're putting the numbers together and giving us a report so that you and I can make intelligent decisions about our health. You know, should I go down and get a flu shot this year or not? So how does the CDC get from 753 flu deaths in the year 2002 to 36,000 flu deaths that are occurring every year? Well, they do it by combining flu deaths with pneumonia deaths. The CDC National Vital Statistic Report for 2002 on page 4 lists influenza and pneumonia as the seventh leading cause of death in 2002. Now, you probably already guessed it. 753 of those deaths were flu-associated and 65,321 were pneumonia-associated. If all flu-associated deaths are removed, pneumonia-associated deaths still ranks number 7 all by itself. The media used the false 36,000 deaths number in its coverage 50 times the actual 2002 and 2003 number. You see, they don't have a vaccine for pneumonia. They ought to. I don't know why they don't just come out with another lie and say, listen, come down and get your pneumonia vaccine today. 65,000 people a year die from pneumonia. You should come down and get your pneumonia vaccine today. Well, everybody knows they don't have a pneumonia vaccine, but they're working diligently putting out these flu vaccines. They've been selling that, you know, for a number of years. So they're selling flu vaccine. In order to get up to 36,000 flu deaths, what they do is they combine that, and they have, did you get that article I just read to you from the CDC? They have what they call a computer model. Computer model. It isn't that they're taking these numbers off of death certificates and they got numbers down here. What they do is they're just doing kind of by guess and by golly, they got a model. Kind of like the birth-death model for creation of jobs. Now, they report to us on the one hand that, say, last month, there were 573,000 new applications for unemployment insurance. But they assure us there were 150,000 new jobs created last month. Huh? Excuse me. How in the hell do you get 150,000 new jobs created last month with 576,000 people going and signing up for unemployment? Well, evidently, there were 150,000 people that went down and found a job. And so they put those down and said, well, found 150,000. And then they report to us, well, 576,000 people lost their jobs last month. And so we keep those numbers separate. It seemed like to me that you ought to subtract 150,000 from 576,000, and you come up with something like 450,000 to 475,000 people that are net unemployed. But maybe I'm being too simplistic. And that's probably what it is. I mean, if you're a government bureaucrat, you'd probably be sitting there saying, look at the simple-minded nitwit. Doesn't understand how we count unemployment here. All right, so let's take a look here at a couple more factors over here. By combining flu deaths with pneumonia deaths, we can come up with the numbers that we need. And no, it is not possible to determine the actual number of deaths caused by the flu because the CDC has no death certificate category for deaths caused only by the flu. The CDC has three basic categories of flu deaths. Here's what they are. Got a pen and paper? Write it down. Let's give you something to tell Charlie about when he comes home from work tonight, Martha. Influenza plus pneumonia, that's one category. Category number two, influenza plus other respiratory manifestations and symptoms. Number three, influenza plus other manifestations and symptoms that are non-respiratory. Don't ask me what the hell that means. I don't got a clue. You'd have to be college degreed to understand that. No plumber, carpenter, electrician would understand it. Now here's a headline. It says adverse events from vaccination with 2003-2004 influenza vaccine. Accurate statistics for adverse events caused by the influenza vaccine are even more difficult to find than accurate data about influenza-associated deaths. However, the latest report from the FDA, Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research on Inactivated Influenza Vaccines for Use in 2003 and 2004, reports the following types of adverse events. Most adverse reactions to inactivated influenza vaccine are related to the body's response to the vaccine components at the site of the injection. Most commonly, there is inflammation at the injection site, which may result in redness, swelling, or pain. Less frequently, more general reactions occur, including fever, malaise, a vague feeling of being ill, muscle aches, and a few serious immediate allergic reactions are reported with inactivated influenza vaccines use every year. Serious immediate reactions can occur within a few minutes to a few hours in people who likely have allergies to components of the vaccines, which may contain very small amounts of residual egg protein. Immediate allergic reactions can appear in a mild form as itching and hives. However, in the severest form, allergic reactions can result in difficulty breathing, loss of blood pressure, and while prompt medical treatment is usually effective, sometimes it results in death. Did you get that? The side effects from your flu vaccine may actually kill you, but not very often. Now, there's another number that you should be aware of here. When vaccines are given, usually by your doctor, if you go to your doctor and you say to him, I have this reaction, treat me for this reaction, how many of those adverse reactions are reported to the CDC? And there's a number for that, and the answer is 10%. 10%. 90% of the adverse reactions that occur from vaccinations are never reported, period. Got that? 90%. Why? Because we don't want to be sued. That's why. Very simple. Now, the big pharmaceuticals now have been preempted from lawsuits. They're out of the game. So if you're going to sue anybody, you've got to sue your pediatrician. And so that doctor, when you come in and make this report to him, he says to you, now look, this doesn't have anything to do with that flu vaccine I gave you last week. This is something totally different. We're going to have to order some tests up here and figure out what the hell's going on. They do everything they can. Now, 10% of these doctors are honest and they report it, but 90% don't. So I just thought I'd point that out to you. So if you thought that your allopathic medical service provider over here was honest enough front, you know, put that out of your mind. Now, we got another story over here. I've got to give you a reminder, and we'll talk to you a little bit more here about looking even closer at the true death statistics on flu when we come back. So I got to remind you here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School, the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. And all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online and you listen to our program on your computer, or you download it and you put it on CD, you can get that free general law CD package now off of our website by going to our archives. And you can punch in georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com, and then you can stream it or download it. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors and publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate by endorsing and recommending the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. Their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, well, they're mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the swine flu vaccine. They've got a big push going on right now. And it requires that you get your regular flu vaccine this year. That's one. And then you get two more for the swine flu. That's going to be three. Now, five of these in a row. Five in a row. Will boost your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease by tenfold, 10 times. I think that's really significant. I think that's a hell of a deal. But I wanted to point that out to you so that when you go down to get your flu vaccine, say, I'm not going to get mine. I'm going to avoid that. They might get me, but if they do, it'll take two or three guys holding me down while one of them jabs me with the needle. I won't be holding still. I'll be fighting that with every ounce of strength in my body. Now, I wouldn't tell you not to get your flu shot, and this isn't the point of our program. We're not here as an issue-oriented institution trying to get you to do this or do that or do something else. Hell, we don't care. If you go down and get your flu shot and you come down with Alzheimer's disease, I don't care. It's no skin off my back one way or the other. Our point here is that we think that we ought to present both sides of the issue, and that you ought to see that there's an opposition to this, that, yeah, you're looking at the head side of the coin, but if you flip it over, there's a tails. If there's an up, there's a down. If there's a right, there's a left. If there's a heads, there's a tail. And if there's a vaccine, then there's a non-vaccine. Now, the other side of the coin is a very small minority of people believe that vaccines and vaccinations are bad for your health. That's 12% of the American public believe that and act on it, practice it. 88% believe that vaccines are good for you, and if they're not good for you, they certainly don't harm you. And while they wouldn't get out of bed to go get a vaccine, they certainly wouldn't resist it if they were forced into it. Okay. So the numbers are 88 and 12. Now, I'm in that 12% minority. I've been that way all my life. I'm always in the minority. The guy I vote for president always loses. He's always in a minority position. Those are called iconoclasts. Those are people that are antisocial, that they're not in sync with the majority view of nearly any or everything. Just out of touch with reality. That's me. So if you're listening to this program, then you probably are one of those iconoclasts that's out of touch with reality. So it's for that small minority of people that I thought, let me explain to you why it is that you're correct in being in that small minority of people who are opposed to vaccines. All right, now listen to this. On November the 9th, 2004, in light of the fact that the public officials are now saying on November the 8th that the 2004 flu season has gotten off to a light start, I'm reposting my piece from the end of October on the real facts about flu deaths in the United States, and here it is. This is an even closer look at the true death statistics on flu in the United States. Now, I may have received this data before from one of the ACE researchers who has been showing me true CDC death stats from the flu, but I spotted this morning a letter to the editor at redflagsweekly.com from Randy L. Powers. He provides a link to the CDC website where deaths from flu and flu plus other stuff are broken down for the year 2000. And you can go to Red Flags and scroll all the way down the center of the page to the bottom, and then pick up the link to the letter section and find Randy's letter and his live link to the CDC PDF file. Or you can type in www.cdc.gov/nchs/data/wh/, and it goes on here. I would presume that you can get it with that information. And if you can't, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and say, hey, you'd like to get that, and if I can remember this address, I'll photocopy it for you. But here's my point. This guy, Randy L. Powers, went to the CDC.gov website to get the information, and he did. See, the truth is actually published, and it's out there. This is what we call doublespeak. Remember Orwell's doublespeak? You tell people a story. 36,000 people a year are dying from the flu. That's their computer model. Then, on your website, you put down the actual number. That way, no one can ever sue you. Nobody can ever come against you and say, hey, you're lying to us. They're always telling you the truth. They're always deceiving you, but they're always telling you the truth in the process. My God, now you talk about genius. Now, that's it. Now, the other day, to give you a little sidelight on this, I did a series of programs here on this thing called the healthcare program. Remember? And I said there's a section in here that deals with euthanasia. And God, that just caused a hell of a flurry of letters and excitement. And it still is, all across the nation. In fact, the president's program may go down in flames on account of that one little section. And the word euthanasia never appears in there. And furthermore, it was clearly obfuscated by putting it in Title 42 in another section under the FDIC, which is the, not FDIC, it was FICA. Yeah, get my letters straight here. FICA, the Federal Social Security Program. See? That way they're telling you the truth, but they can tell you a story, give you a press release. And then they said last night, I was watching Larry NewsHour, and he said, that the claims that government bureaucrats will have the power to kill people or euthanize people has been totally debunked and disproved. Now, wait a minute, boys and girls, that's a damn lie. It is true the president denied it. I don't deny that. The president denied it. He said that is not true, but he never proved that it wasn't. And on my programs, I said, now let me give you the citations from the exact places where this can be found. Now, I noticed that as of yesterday, I just got the international forecaster, Bob Chapman hadn't come back and said, gee, I made a mistake, and I'm sorry as hell that we misreported on the euthanasia portion of the president's health care bill. They're now prepared to take that out. They won't. What they'll do is they'll bury it someplace else in some other statute someplace. That's what they'll do. That's what they always do. But they're going to take it away from in front of your face. And that's because somebody dug into it and found out, hey, look what these guys are up to. And that's because most of us, just like I reported to you a little earlier, you know, the average Joe Sixpack over here, he's not interested in doing the research. He's just interested in the sound bites. You know, like I like Ike or I like Mondale or somebody like that. But we're not talking about the details of it. We're just talking about the sound bites. And so they give us the sound bites, and they tell us what we want to hear. And then they write up this law, 1,018 pages that nobody ever reads. Now, rest assured that it isn't nobody reads it. The people that wrote that thing read it all. They didn't put one word in there that they didn't need to accomplish their goals and their agenda. And the CDC, they're not ignorant down there. Those people running that institution called the Center for Disease Control, there's not a dummy down there. Dumb people are not hired there. Those people are very knowledgeable, very astute people. Now, they may be wicked. They may be evil. They may have an agenda that they're not telling you about. But there are no dummies down there. And I hear this constantly. People will write me letters and tell me about how dumb senators and representatives in Congress are, how dumb the president is, how dumb they are here in the bureaucracy. There aren't any dummies there. There might be some voters out here that are dummies, voting these people back into office continually, but there aren't any of these people running for office that are dumb. They're all very knowledgeable people, and they have a very, very astute agenda. These guys know exactly what they're doing and how they're going to do it. And this flu thing over here, this is not an accident. These people aren't doing this thing for no good reason. They've got an agenda. The agenda has to do with world population control. With the manufacturing companies, I'm sure it has to do with dollars and cents and profits and profit and gain. And I suspect that, and wouldn't deny it. But there's another strata of bureaucracy up here and another strata of control that goes above them. And these people have an agenda, and they want to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. And vaccines, I reported this in the very first program in the series, that vaccines comes from the protocols of the learned elders. They published that in 1884. Boys and girls, they've been after this for a long time, more than 100 years. Now, there's a solution to sickness and disease, and I told you what that was. There are 19 health laws in the Bible, and most people do not want to practice those 19 health laws. They want to go down and get a vaccine so that they can go out here and smoke, drink, eat pig, fat, blood. They want to violate these basic health laws, and they don't want to pay the penalty for it. And that's what the bottom line to human nature is all about. I want to break the law, and I don't want to pay the penalty. Well, I don't know how to do that. And so the CDC comes along and says, oh, okay, let's just eat whatever you want. No problem. You can run your immune system down. You can smoke, drink, do drugs, just have a blast. Come down, get your shot. Takes care of everything. Come on down. Now, the fact that that's a blatant lie doesn't come up in the conversation, but that's what the majority of people believe, and that's what the majority of people want to believe, and that's what they want to practice, and I don't want to get in your way. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to believe, you get after it. Now, this particular article comes from an outfit called www.nomorefakenews.com, archives. Okay, got that? It's www.nomorefakenews, so they got a website called No More Fake News homepage. That's what the entitlement is, No More Fake News. So evidently they specialize in, and I didn't pull this off the internet. I have Dirk do that. Now Dirk digging around over here. What he's looking for is he's looking for vaccine information, which is the purpose for our dialogue here. But the point is, he went to this outfit here and said, hey, listen, did you know this 36,000 that's being bandied about is a fake statistic? And my response to that was, no, I did not know that. I believed 36,000 to be the correct number because I got it from a government agency, and I didn't have any reason to believe that they lied to us. All right, so now I'm reporting to you that the CDC is lying to you about that 36,000. 36,000 people are not dying from the flu every year. I don't doubt that there's 36,000 people that are dying from a number of lung diseases or lung problems. That's probably true. But in the process, they're telling you that you need this vaccine to protect you from the flu because 36,000 people are dying from it, and that's a damn lie. And it's 65,000 people that are dying from pneumonia for which there isn't a vaccine. What you need is an immune system that will suppress or that will prevent that disease from killing you. And nobody is selling immune systems. They're not out here telling you how to build your immune system. They're telling you come down here, get your $25 flu vaccine, which is good business for Smith-Kline, GlaxoSmithKline and Merck and Pfizer and the drug pharmaceutical manufacturers. I don't doubt that. But that doesn't mean that it's good for you. This propaganda now has 88% of Americans convinced that the flu vaccine over here is going to solve their problem when in reality it won't. I'm giving you the facts and figures and the sources of information. If you want to check it out, get after it. Meanwhile, back on the farm here. So either way you do it, you'll come across a bunch of tables that list flu death statistics for the year 2000. You'll need to look at all of these tables. And when you go to www.cdc.gov, and I gave that to you the other day, nchs/data, WH, and then go to page 1068 to 1071, and you'll come up with these tables. Now, I have previously reported that the actual CDC flu death stats for the year 2000 was 1,765. It's in small print. It's not in the CDC press releases that trumpet the canned 36,000 figure. So the CDC over here knows full well what the hell they're doing. Now, again, you're going to ask, well, why are they lying to us? To sell flu vaccine. They're lying to you to sell flu vaccine. Now, if you want to buy it, I'm not telling you not to. I'm just telling you that's the purpose behind it. It's the same thing the oil companies do. They continually bombard you with this. The world is running out of oil, and that's why the prices are going up. The world isn't running out of oil. I've reported on that a couple of times. Here in the United States, we have a 666-year supply of oil at $30 a barrel, measured in 1985 dollars, $30 a barrel. And I would submit to you that around the $60 price range right now, $70, something like that, we have a 666-year supply. The world is not running out of oil. It may be true that the world is running out of Saudi light crude oil, and that Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Iraq, along with the Emirates, will be unable to provide us with oil at the prices that we would like to pay, you know, like 50 cents a gallon. That's probably true. But the world isn't running out of oil. And that there are reserves of tar sands in Canada that would supply the entire world with oil for the next 350 years. Just you Canadians alone, just the tar sand that you have in Canada contains enough oil to run the whole damn world. Around 25 billion barrels a year for the next 350. And then we've got a bunch of oil down here in the United States that'll run just our country. We don't have enough down here to run everybody in the world, but we could run our country at the rate of 6 billion barrels a year for the next 666 years. All right. Now, with that little bit out of the way, it shows you that there's a skullduggery afoot here, and that these people have a product to sell, and they want to sell it, and they need to tell you a story, and so they tell you whatever the hell they need to tell you to get you to buy their oil, buy their vaccines, et cetera. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the truth, that they're giving you the true facts here. So now our point is that if 36,000 people aren't dying from the flu, we don't deny that they're dying. The numbers that they're getting is by combining flu deaths with pneumonia deaths, which total around 70, 80,000 a year. And from those numbers, they can do a computer model, and then from their computer model, you can never accuse them of lying to you. Well, according to our computer model, it's 36,000 a year. But according to reality, it's 1,765 a year. That's what we can actually document. Well, I don't know what the hell they believe. You know, you can believe what you want to believe, but you can't prove that 36,000 are dying from the flu every year. And that's the point that they're trying to make, is that 36,000 people are dying. And that's not true. So we're left with vague eyeball diagnosis of patients, meaningless, zero science. No, sure, this is a case of the flu, so make a note of it. We need to wait a minute here. All these statistics are based on reports turned in from the field, which means the doctors out there making diagnoses all over the United States. If 1,705 deaths from the flu never had an identification of the virus that the CDC claims actually causes the flu, then what are we left with? See, when you're working with 1,765, that's the actual number. I read through the various tables. It's easy to find how the CDC came up with that number. Table 1 lists 60 deaths from the flu with influenza virus identified. Table 5 lists 1,705 deaths from the flu, virus not identified. Add up the two totals, and you get 1,765 deaths from the flu. That's what we know about. Now, those are actually identified. Now, I mentioned this a little earlier in this program. Here in the United States, there are some people that have actually been diagnosed with, who actually did die from this swine flu. I assume they're telling us the truth. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt. It isn't in the hundreds. It's maybe 100. And I'm not even sure that we've hit 100 yet. But it may be that many. They actually took some slides, put them under the microscope, and said, hey, this is the swine flu. This is H1N1. This guy died. We presume he died from this flu. All right. So there you got one. Put it down on the tables. But that ain't 36,000 kids. And in order to get this 36,000, they're just skewering the numbers, which causes fear. Now, what is it that makes you buy flu vaccine? It's not vanity, jealousy, lust, or greed. It's fear. So in order to sell, we need to create fear. So we come along and we say, oh, my God, 36,000 people a year are dying. Mainly they're old people. All you old people need to run down and get a flu vaccine. All right, what they're telling you is the flu vaccine protects you from the flu. No, it doesn't. Doesn't at all. 43% of the flu cases that come up every year come up in people who have been past tense vaccinated. So it doesn't do anything for that 43%. So then of the 57% that don't get the flu, well, wait a minute, most people aren't vaccinated anyway, like me. I'm not even vaccinated. So I don't come up with the flu, see? Do we then say, oh, my God, George Gordon was saved from the flu because he was vaccinated? No, because I haven't been vaccinated. But if you have been vaccinated and you don't come up with the flu, well, see, the reason you didn't get the flu is because you were protected. You had the vaccine. No, it hasn't. Your immune system warded it off. It warded off the flu and it warded off the vaccine. And 43% of you people out there, the vaccine didn't do jack diddly squat for you. In fact, in most cases, it probably gave you the flu. That's where you probably got it, because your immune system wasn't strong enough to ward it off. That's where the bottom line is. So when we take a look here at No More Fake News Archives, then you can go to this website. It's www.nomorefakenews.com and get the article for yourself. It's 3 pages. I don't have the time to go through the entire article here, but I can hit the highlights for you. I can say, hey, wait a minute, these guys are lying to you. If it's not important that the CDC is lying to you about this 36,000 flu deaths, hey, pass it off, let it go. I don't care. No skin off my back. But this is the motivation of the CDC to motivate you to get the vaccine. And if that's what's motivating you to get the vaccine, you need another motivator. You need to get this article and say, wait a minute, the guys are lying to us about this 36,000. It's really more like about 1,700, 2,000. And there might be a couple 3,000 that aren't being reported or that are misdiagnosed or something like that. And I'm not suggesting that flu isn't bad and it's probably real serious and you probably want to avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. But it ain't 36,000. And it isn't nearly the problem that they're making it out to be. You probably can survive quite nicely. Now, I've been living my entire life without any vaccines, and I'm doing quite nicely, thank you. I am going to die. And the day I die, you people are going to say, see, the guy didn't have his vaccines. And you're right, I didn't. But that isn't going to prove that I died because I didn't have vaccines. It's going to show you that I lived to be 70 years old, and that's all I was ever entitled to was 70 years, 70, and I've already collected it. I can die in the morning with a clear conscience. I'm out of time here, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there and let you know that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.